All right, I'm in Psalm 51 tonight. Psalm 51. And this is a passage that you ought to know. How many of y'all know Psalm 51? Do you? You familiar with it? Psalm 51, it begins with a statement before verse 1. How many of you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? How many of your Bible has a statement before verse 1? Does yours? Now, that can mislead you. That was not added by the translators. If you go to Hebrew Bible, where we get the English Bible, you will find that that statement before verse 1 is actually part of the Word of God. And so really, to get Psalm 51, you have to read that statement that begins with the words to the chief musician. How many of y'all have that in your Bible? Begins to the chief musician. Now watch this. The Bible says right here, this is a psalm to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. How many of y'all know that story? You know that story? You know David, don't you? Was a man of God, right? How many of y'all know that David was a man of God? Did y'all know that? And how many of you knew that David was the king of Israel? I mean, y'all knew that. And he was so prominent when Jesus walked on this earth, they even said that Jesus was the son of David. This was a mighty man, an incredible man. He explodes on the pages of God's Word. And the first time we ever find him, he just jumps off of the pages of God's Word. And he appears, and Samuel, the man of God, chooses a teenager to be the next king. It's an incredible story. In fact, the Bible says, as soon as he appears, the Bible says this about David. The Bible says, now David was ruddy, which is meaning he was red probably because he'd been running from the field. So he's red in his face. And the Bible says he was with all of a beautiful countenance. And the Bible says he was goodly to look to. So the first time David appears in God's Word, he's chosen to be king. And the Bible says this about him. The Bible says he was a handsome stallion. That's kind of the paraphrase. And for the record, I think most Davids are. So that just, to me, just fits. I can't prove that. I don't know every David, but the ones I know, I think that's right up there at the top. And this is that David, a man after God's own heart. How many of y'all know that story, do you? David that killed Goliath. How many of y'all know that story? You know that story? David who had a best friend named Jonathan. You know that story? And then our Bible says this right here. This is a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. I have a sermon. It's not the one I'm preaching tonight. But I have a sermon based on that statement. After he had gone into Bathsheba. And I titled that message, He Did What? He did what? This is that David. This man after God's own heart blew it. In fact, you really can't think of the story of David if you know the story at all without remembering that story. And yet Psalm 51 is incredible. The reason being is because in Psalm 51, David is getting completely right with God. So I'm going to read Psalm 51 for you, but I'm going to preach a message tonight. And I think I have a screen there for you. How to be completely right with God. And I know that's what you want. You want to be right. You want to be clean. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. So let's begin reading in Psalm 51. And we'll begin in verse 1. If you got it, say, I got it. All right, here's what the Bible says. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Now I'll stop right there. That's Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, David is talking to us about how he got completely right with God. And I just want to challenge you about that tonight. Let's just jump right in tonight for sake of time. And by introduction, I want to show you two things. There's a battle we have with sin, and there's a price that we pay for sin. So let's just start there and think a little about sin for a few moments. I have a couple of thoughts here about our sin battle. How many of you know what it is to battle with sin? Anybody know about the first one there? Is that ever a battle in your life? There's often a battle with purity, isn't there? I said to the adults tonight, teenagers, and I got to tell you that I'd say it again in the leadership session. I told them that I just am really thankful that I wasn't born in your generation. I don't mind being young. I am Dave Young, so I will always be young. But, I don't know how you guys and girls do it. How many have a smartphone, do you? Let me see your hand if you have a smartphone. Most of you do, and I don't know how you handle it. I really don't. It's just startling. Things like, forgive this word, pornography has always been around. How many of y'all knew that? Did you know it's not something new? But my generation, it was there. You might see it occasionally, a real quick glimpse in a locker room or somebody who brought a magazine from his dad's office or his dad's garage or something, but we didn't have a smartphone that had 3 million websites on it that were pornographic. I don't know how sometimes your generation survives. There's no doubt about it that the sin battle, purity would be one of the top ones in any generation. And by the way, it's not just yours. It's interesting when you go to the New Testament that anytime Paul or a writer in the New Testament starts listing sins, let's get these things right. Always at the top, he'll mention adultery, fornication, uncleanness. In other words, sexual sin has not been, it's not something new to your generation, although exponentially it's a challenge for your generation. And it really is, and you know that. Many of you that battle this area of purity, it wasn't even because you were trying to be wicked. Maybe you were just legitimately on YouTube. How many ever go on YouTube? You ever go on YouTube? How many of you watch videos of old people falling down and laugh your head off? What is wrong with teenagers? We love them. Did you see that guy fall down? I showed on the way here, somebody sent me a video today. And it was a video, one of those cameras on a building. And it was showing these two guys, and they were carrying bricks. They're going to throw bricks through the window. And the two guys, they walk up to the window, and the one, he look at me, make sure nobody's watching. Didn't bother looking up at the camera. Make sure nobody's watching. The one guy goes, boom, and he throws his brick. And the guy behind him, he goes, boom, and throws his brick right into his buddy's face. Knocks the guy silly. And I did just what you did. I was like, that's hysterical. Rewind that and watch that again. I mean, you know. As you were on YouTube, you were watching funny videos, and you know, what do they call those things on the side? Thumbnails or something like that? And the next thing you know, there's a video, and it piques your interest because God designed us curious. And there's somebody in this room, your purity battle started innocently. You touched a thumbnail, and a video opened, and the next thing you know, you saw something, and you were startled by it, and you knew right away, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have seen that. And you felt badly about it, and you shut it down really fast, and you didn't tell anybody because you didn't want anybody to know you saw that. But the next thing you know, you're curious again. Wonder what the rest of it was. You know what? If you're an average group of teenagers, there's teens in this room tonight, that top word on that list is a massive struggle in some of your lives. You didn't intend for it to be. You weren't planning for it to be already an addiction when you're 14 or 16 or 18 or 20. But that's a massive battle in our generation. And exponentially so because of the internet. You know, and sometimes it's an accident. You didn't mean to allow that to happen, but sometimes you did. Sometimes you heard about it and you looked up a word and you liked it and you went back to it enough times that the next thing you know, now you can't stop.
Well, how in the world do you get completely right with God when that's a battle in your life? How many of you are you at all aware that purity is not the only sin battle? Sometimes it's our personality. Do you know there's a sin battle in most of our personalities? You know, God designed us with personality. How many of y'all knew that? Raise your hand if you knew that. Did you know that? God designed us with personality. How many of you are aware of the fact that all of us have different personalities? How many of you are aware of that?
How many of you have a friend and they're like wired 220? Their entire life is like, whoa!
How many of you know somebody like that? You know, they just like bounce off the walls. And they're like when they're riding in the van, they do this with their leg. And the next thing you know, the whole van is vibrating down the highway. Like, would you stop the leg? And like, oh, okay. And like, you know, sorry. And they say, Well, we're all different in our personality. How many? I have this one friend, and his personality is exactly like this. When he's happy, this is how he is. When he's like rejoicing, he's like, I'm like, hello. It's like the wheel's turning, but the hamster's dead. You like that? Hello? You know, God designed us all with personality. And with our personality, God gave us gifts. Did you know that? We are designed by God with unique gifts based on His design in our life. Like some of you, we call this a spiritual gift we talk about. He said, that guy has the gift of a prophet. Or she's a prophet. She just tells it like it is. She stands for the truth. She's always going to do what's right. That person, they were designed by God with the gift of the prophet. You know, that's from God. Praise God for that gift. But you know what happens in our personality in a sin-cursed world? Every God-given strength, the enemy offers us a sin-cursed weakness. So maybe you're the prophet. I do what's right. I know what's right. And if you don't know what's right, I'll tell you. But you know what happens sometimes in the gift of the prophet? Becomes our sin battle. Because we become known for our harshness. Yeah, I'm gifted by God. But the enemy perverts my God-given personality gift. And the next thing you know, I'm battling an issue that's actually sin. You see that in things like depression. Some teenagers are designed by God with a gift to feel. And now we all feel. But how many of you know? How many of you know some people that are just, they just feel everything? Like they drive over a skunk and they're like, oh my goodness. Somebody killed that poor little skunk. Can you believe it? Oh my soul. See, some people are just that way. So it's just kind of weird. I mean, it's kind of weird. But there's some people designed that way. But you know what happens? God designs you with a personality to care, to love, to give, literally to feel. But some of you, it's because of that spiritual gift and the fact that you live in a sin-cursed world, you know, that's from God. That's your design. That's your personality. But you have perverted it because of sin, and now you always battle depression. You're always down. You're always discouraged. You're always defeated. You're always frustrated. See, that's your sin battle. It can be purity. It can be personality. Does that personality want to make sense? We're all different. We're even different by gender, aren't we? How many of you are aware of the fact that guys are not girls? Are y'all aware of that? In emotions. How many of you are in emotions? Do you know that guys are emotional girls? Did you know that? Guys, did you know that girls are emotional? It's like no kidding. School's about to start. If you're happy, say, well, never mind. You go to school and you go in the cafeteria and there's a girl there crying, which nobody's like, oh my goodness, there's a girl crying. Well, of course it's a girl. She's crying. Right? And what do all of you girls do when a girl is crying? You're all like, oh, group hug, oh. You see, guys aren't that way at all. You go in there, if you go in the cafeteria and there's a guy in there crying, you're like, whoop. I mean, we're different, aren't we? See, we're designed that way. So there's nothing wrong with personality. Some of you are prophets, and some of you have to get to mercy. And we all have different strengths and weaknesses. But in our God-given strengths, the enemy likes to turn that into a sin battle. We all have them. My daughter Abigail got married a few weeks ago now. And my daughter Abigail, when she was a little girl, it was very obvious that one of her strengths is she's very industrious. The kid gets the job done. Boom. She could get everybody around her getting the job done. But she was dishonest. She would lie to you. I mean, just flat out lie to you. Her brother, same family. Her brother, he was impeccably honest. But he was lazy. It's the truth. The guy was lazy, Brother Harold. I mean, he was she could work circles around him, but she'd lie to you. He would always tell you the truth, but he was lazy. In fact, if in our family you want to know who did it, you ask him. All right, kids, who did it, Josh? And he's like, he just spits it out. It's like, it's in here, it's coming out here. That's just how he is. Sometimes he was too honest. You know what I like that? He was too honest. We were at this one church in Pennsylvania, and it was the weirdest church we'd ever been to. Does that sound bad? It's the truth. We went to this church. It was weird. I'm saying it was a weird church. The people were weird. Forgive me, pastors. It's the truth. The pastor was weird. I don't know why he did this. You know how some guys shave? Well, he would shave, but he wouldn't shave. There was a section of his right under his nostrils. It was the hardest thing in the world to talk to him because you couldn't help but notice that hair. And it's like, why would you shave up there? You know, just this little thing of hair right there, like you know, a little soul patch down here. He had a soul patch up here under each nostril. It was the weirdest thing in the world. The people were weird. Brother Harold, I like order. I like things to be parallel. How many of y'all like parallel, things parallel and things symmetrical? That's how I am. I like that. When I see things parallel, it just makes me feel good. Well, I was in this church. This was that church. And did you know that the pulpit was not centered? The pulpit was over here. And it was nailed. You couldn't move it. It was nailed. So I'm like over here. And it was like, it was my blood pressure went up. So the pastor takes my family out to eat. And we got this big round table. And you know what the pastor does? He says to the young children, hey, kids, what's the strangest church you've ever been to? What's the weirdest church you've ever been to? My son, Josh, did not miss a beat. He goes, yours. And I was, what do you say? And I was going to kick him under the table. But if I had him, he'd have gone, Father, why art thou kicking me under the table? Because he just that way. The pastor even made it worse because the pastor, you know what the pastor said? The pastor laughs. He's like, he goes, no, really. And my Josh, he's like, yours. And I was like, man, pastor, he's a real comedian. It was terrible. See, here's the whole deal. Some of you kids in this room, you got a purity battle, and I'm telling you, it's time that you get completely right with God and handle that battle. Some of you kids, it's personality. Some of you are angry all the time. Some of you are depressed all the time. You're discouraged all the time. You're down all the time. You're frustrated all the time. You're hard to get along with. You got a sharp tongue. You bite. You're irritated. You're grouchy. That's a personality problem. And that personality turns into a wrong pattern. Because some of you, every time you don't get your way, hey, Dad, can I? And Dad's like, no. Every time you get your way, you got a little pattern going on. It's predictable. Your parents know how you're going to respond because you got the pattern. It's a faulty pattern in your life. For some of you, you know, you huff and puff like the big bad wolf going to blow the house down. My parents, you roll your eyes and sigh. That's a wrong pattern. And see, we overlook these. Most of us could see that a purity battle is sin, couldn't we? We're like, man, I shouldn't look at that and think that and do that. That's really wrong. But it's really easy for a lot of us to overlook the personality matter as just how I am. I just tell it like it is. That's how I am. I'll tell you how I am. I just get depressed all the time. It's just how God made me. No, God didn't make you that way. God didn't make you to be a teenage girl who cries 25 minutes out of every hour. It's a personality. That's a sin in your life. That's the attack of the enemy. Your battle may not be David's, but all of us have a battle of one of these four matters, and maybe others. There's purity battles, there's personality battles, there's wrong patterns in our life. Some of you, every time you go home and you're bored, you turn to the wrong thing. You maybe eat more than you should, or maybe you go to the internet and look up garbage. Or you get in a chat room with things that are unwise to chat about and people that you shouldn't be chatting with. Or you waste hours with violent video games. There's nothing wrong with playing a video game. But kids, if the only thing you've accomplished this summer is hours of video games, I'm going to venture to say you got a sin battle and don't even know it. You may be the best flosser the world has ever seen, but you got a sin battle. And I can do it. Not really. Some of you, it's pride, isn't it? Some of you kids are good kids. You're really good kids. You got a good family. And you go to a good church. But you know what the enemy is a master at doing? Is turning the good things into our life into sin. Like it's easy. Say maybe you got higher standards than everybody else in your youth group. I don't listen to that. I don't watch that. I don't go there. I don't play that. I don't even floss. That sounded bad, didn't it? Because you should floss, just not floss, okay? So I don't do any of that. I am more spiritual than everybody else in my youth group. If you guys were just as good as me, we could probably see our entire public school saved. And see, the good thing in our life turns into pride. And it's a sin battle. There's not only a battle to talk with you about when it comes to sin. David's talking about sin here. I just want you to stop for a moment by way of introduction now and think about the sin price, all right? Are you aware that no matter what the sin is in your life, it enslaves? It's a purity battle, it enslaves. It's a personality conflict, it enslaves. It's a faulty pattern in your life. You know what happens? Have you ever heard a teenager say something? Maybe it's you, but maybe it's another. Sometimes a teen will say to me, you know, I was going to tell you, my it's so hard at home. My dad gets angry all the time. But then I watch that teenager. And the next thing I notice is that teenager doesn't even realize she's just as bad as her dad. He's just like his dad. She's just like her mom. Because the sin that we tolerate in our own lives enslaves us. Which is why some of you can't get victory over purity. Because you're enslaved. So you're 13 years old and you're in slavery. You can't stop looking. I don't look at it often, but every time you're bored, you do. Or when you're hungry, or you're angry, or you're lonely, or you're tired, you go look at it again. Every time you're hungry, you're angry, you're lonely, you're tired, you get your emotions out of whack, and now you're down, you're discouraged, you complain, you gripe, you're frustrated, you're irritated. And you're trying to do what's right, and the enemy comes along and turns that into pride. And now you're enslaved. And notice that your sin may not be as big as David's, but it will always enslave you. And it will always separate you from God and those around you. Do you know why the enemy attacks your emotions so hard? It's a wonderful way to separate you from the godly authorities in your life, or even the ungodly authorities. Because when you allow your sin to come into your life, the enemy will use it to drive a wedge between you and those who are over you. And he does it. He's good at it. And you know, the biggest reason we ought to be aware of sin is because there's a major price tag on that bottom one there. Sin robs us of God's blessings. Guys and girls, how many of you would want God's blessings? Wouldn't you? If God's blessings are joy, how many of you want joy in your life? Would you? If God's blessing is peace, how many of you would want peace in your life? Wouldn't you? Sure you would. But sin, it robs us of God's blessings. Now I want to tell you, because sin enslaves and sin separates and sin robs us of God's blessings, this is why David comes to Psalm 51 and says, you know, Lord, I want to be right with you. I've got to get right with you. And I want to be completely right with you because I don't want to be in slavery and I don't want to be separated from you. And God, I don't want to lose your blessings in my life. You got to help me to get clean, God, because I want your favor and goodness and blessings in my life. So the question is, how in the world can I be completely right with God? Now, I'm going to give you 3 or 4 answers tonight and our time will be gone. And here's the first one. All right, take a look at it. Here's what you do, number one. You talk about your sin. Number one, you talk about it. Smile at the person beside you. Nobody ever does. Smile at the person beside you. Everybody, smile at the person beside you and say, all you got to do is talk about it. All right? It's that simple. What's David doing in Psalm 51? Tell me, what's David doing in Psalm 51? Tell me, what's David doing in Psalm... I'm giving you a hint. What's David doing in Psalm 51? He's talking about his sin. You know, I'm going to write a psalm, he says. And this is about that time that Nathan came into me after I'd gone into Bathsheba and committed adultery and really blown it. And then he writes this whole list about it. God, this is what it did to me. And this is how I felt about it. And this is what happened. And this is what happened. And God, I got to tell you, I'm wrong. What's he doing? He's talking about his sin. You know why sometimes you and I never can completely get right with God and have victory? Because we don't talk about it. David talked about it. I mean, you see, can you get any clearer than that? I'm writing this psalm because I committed adultery with Bathsheba. Well, there you go. Put it on the table. You know what I heard somewhere, you adults in this room? I read somewhere not long ago and I thought it was so good. And the author of this article I read said, he said, we have forgotten that church should be a place where you can hurt out loud. We have forgotten that church can be a place where you can hurt out loud. There's no doubt about it. David is hurting out loud right here, isn't he? I'm just gonna write a letter. I'm gonna write about the time that I committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he just starts talking about it. Look what it did to me. This is how I feel. This is what happened. He just laying it on the line. I'm telling young people, don't miss this truth tonight. If you and I are going to come completely right with God and have the victory that God wants us to have, there's at least two things I'd show you here about talking about it. Number one, I obviously need to confess it to God. Would that make sense? What happens? We learned already tonight, so I'm just going to touch this briefly. What happens when I confess my sin to God? You tell me. He forgives me. Isn't it beautiful in the text? Isn't it beautiful? Notice how he starts in verse 1 with God. I think I have a screen there for it. Look at what he says here about God in verse 1. In verse 1, he starts talking about his sin, but the first thing he does is he runs to God. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. He says four things about God right there, doesn't he? He says, God, the reason I can talk about it to you is because here's what I know about you. You are loving and kind and tender and merciful. Get that in your heart tonight. What you know about God in this psalm is, the reason I can talk about my sin tonight is because the God I know and the God I serve and the God of the universe who is all-powerful and all-knowing, he's also loving and kind and tender and merciful. Do you remember what I titled that one sermon I told you I preach? He did what? And yet he starts the first verse. God, I want to talk to you about this because I know that you're loving. Hey, has it ever dawned on you guys that the God of the universe, he knows about your purity battle? It's not like God doesn't know. He knows what it's going to do to you. He knows the pain, the agony, the challenge, the battle. He just knows. But don't forget the fact in his knowing that he's loving. I would come here tonight and say to you guys and girls, he cares. He cares. He loves you. He's kind. He's tender. He's merciful. Am I making sense tonight? So you can go to God. You can trust him. I said, you can go to God. You can trust him. You can go to God. You can say, God, this is what's wrong in my life, and this is what's going on in my life, and this is what's going on in my life, and here's where I blew it, and here's where I failed, and here's where I wish I were better, and this is what I wish I could change. God, you know it. And you'll find out that he's loving and kind and tender and merciful. And if you get a hold of that, it'll put you on shouting ground. Amen. You have a really good God. So that's where this psalmist starts. He starts with God. And he says, I want to go to God. I want to confess to God because God is so good and he's so loving and he's so kind and he's so merciful. I can come to God and when I confess, here's what we find in this psalm. When I confess to God, it brings cleansing, it brings joy, and it brings gladness. How many of you like being clean? Do you like being clean? I like being clean. Clean is important. Don't you agree? You ever gone out to eat and found somebody else's food on your fork? Did you know that it's not right to eat food you haven't paid for? Get a clean fork. That's not your food. Right? I always hate if I go out to eat and I sit down and I find somebody's hair in my food. I don't like that. How many of y'all agree? I don't like that. Nobody like, you know, hey,
No. Because clean is important. How many of you agree with that? I like a clean toothbrush. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I like clean food. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
I just like being clean. Can I get an amen? Amen. Clean is important. But there's nothing like being right with God. Where I'm just clean. All is well. I'm clean. I go to God and confess it. You know what? It brings cleansing. He says in the text, it's an incredible text. I don't have time to deal with all of it. But he says in the second verse, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me. He even then he says, because I'm acknowledging my transgression. I'm talking to you, God, about my problem, my sin. It's ever before me. I've sinned against you in verse 4. God, I know I have. I've disappointed you and I've hurt you and I've hurt your word. In fact, God, I've always been a sinner in verse 5. I was born this way. I was shaped this way. I know, God, things aren't right inside. I'm hiding things. That's in verse 6. I'm hiding things. I'm covering things. And then he says in verse 7, but God, if you'll clean me up, if you'll purge me, I'll be clean. And if you'll wash me, I'll be whiter than snow. And I'll hear joy and I'll hear gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. God, it's been really hard. I hate my battle. Honestly, if you're always down and irritable and grouchy and hard to be around and people stay away from you, don't you hate that? If you're addicted to something on the internet, don't you hate that? I mean, you want to go back to it. That's the curse of sin. You're drawn and you gotta look. Just a moment, just a glimpse. I shouldn't, but I'm going to. You're drawn. Don't you hate that? And yet, this is what he's saying here. I hate it, but if I go to God in confession, what it does is it brings cleansing, it brings joy, and it brings gladness. So I confess it to God. That's forgiveness. But there's one more step. You got to talk about your sin. You confess it to others. You know what that brings? Healing. Here's a text that just I've meditated on many times. I love the book of James. And the fifth chapter's incredible chapter. And he goes in this fifth chapter and he's talking to the brethren scattered from Jerusalem throughout the known world of that day. And he says in the 13th verse, is any among you afflicted? Got any problems in your life? Then pray. Anybody happy? Then sing psalms. Anybody sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick and so forth. And you get to the 16th verse, and he says this. He says, believers, let me tell you something. If you'll confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, you may be healed. He says, confess your faults. So I go to God, and I say, God, you know I got a purity battle. You know I got a personality problem. I'm angry. I battle worry. I'm frustrated. I'm irritated. I'm always down. I'm always depressed. I battle pride. I got self-righteousness in my life. I got this wrong pattern. I always respond wrongly. Dad says something and I get mad and I stomp down the hall and I slam doors and I throw things and I get so bothered. God, I got a sin problem in my life. And I come to God and I say, God, I'm really sorry and I can't overcome it. And I want to. God, please purge me, cleanse me, help me. And I say, well, God, he'll cleanse you. He'll forgive you. I love 1 John 1:9. Y'all know that one? If we confess our sins, he is what? Say the word faithful, what? And what? Just. Faithful and just. Say those three words. Faithful and just. You know what that means? It means, number one, he's the one that has the right to forgive. But it also means, number two, he'll do it every time. I love that. See, I mean, I talked to God about this last year at Student Prayer Advance. Well, I got good news for you. He still knows and he still cares and you come and he'll forgive you again. Because he's that kind of God. If you confess your sins, he'll forgive you. But you know what? He wants you to have more than forgiveness. Now I'm going to say this carefully. He wants you to be healed. See, a lot of you kids get forgiveness, but you don't get healing. And the Bible says in James, if we confess our faults one to another, confess your faults one to another, that ye may be healed. So what's he talking about there? When I go to God, answer this yes or no. When I go to God, am I forgiven? How many of you have ever gone to God and found forgiveness? Raise your hand good and high. Have you? But how many of you, after you've gone to God and found forgiveness, you weren't healed? You went home? You went to camp and you said, okay, I'm going to make it right. You went to student prayer dance. I mean it. God, forgive me. And you went home and here you are again because you weren't healed. The Bible says there's more to talk about. Talk about it to God. That's called confession, forgiveness. But talk about it to others, because that's the key to healing. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, it's not arbitrary. He's trying to let us know that if we confess to others, it does all kinds of things for us. Confessing to others destroys darkness. You know what I mean by that? Destroys the secret. It destroys the secret. You know why some of you battle the same purity battle over and over and over and over and over and over and over again on the internet? Because it's still a secret. Get it out in the open. It doesn't mean you have to announce it Sunday morning at church. Hey, excuse me. I just want y'all to know. Doesn't mean that at all. But it might mean very definitely that I find a guy like Brother Harold Vaughn who I know loves God and knows the Bible and can help me find healing. And I go to Brother Harold and I say, can I talk to you, Brother Harold? Because there's a sin battle in my life. Brother Harold, I worry all the time. I'm a worrier, and I know it's wrong, and I can't stop it, and I get frustrated. I'm a worrier. And Brother Harold, I've asked God to forgive me, and He has. Will you help me to find healing? You know what Brother Harold could do? Brother Harold will say, let me pray with you. And he'll pray with me, and Brother Harold will say, you know what you ought to do? You ought to memorize this verse, and you ought to read this book, and you ought to memorize that verse, and I'm going to call and check on you in a few days. Brother Harold could call me and say, did you read that book? And yeah, I'm on chapter 3. Well, good, you keep reading. What's about chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3? See what he's helping me to heal. Help me to get on the right path. That's why I confess. It destroys darkness. It opens doors. You know what God intended the church to be? He intends your youth group to be this way. Your singles group to be this way. You know what God intends? He intends us to be relational. See, we're pretty good at going to church and faking it, aren't we? How many of you go to church with your mom and dad? Let me see your hand. You go to church with mom and dad. How many of you have ever, on the way to church, your family has been kind of uptight? Anybody here like that? Your family ever uptight on the way to church? You're like, oh my word, oh my word, oh my word. And your mom and dad are at each other. And you're like, going people, you know, honking the horn. And everybody's like, grr. And then we get out of the car at the church. Hello, brother. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee and smile upon thee. And we even use that. You know, we use that different vocabulary. You have our own vocabulary at church. You don't go to Walmart and the greeter go, hello, welcome to Walmart. God bless you, brother. We do that at church, don't we? God bless you, brother. Yes, the Lord is good, isn't He, sweetheart? You guys were just fighting like cats and dogs as a family 5 minutes ago. Well, I understand you don't have to air all your dirty laundry. I mean, it'd be kind of weird to go to church. You go, I say right now, he was a jerk on the way to church. Because that's not the kind of confession we're talking about. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have to be fake. Teenagers, you want healing, you got to stop being fake. You got to stop playing the game and get real with somebody. Has there ever been a time in your life when you sat down with somebody you love, you trust, you care about, and you said to them, hey, I got to talk to somebody about something. Can I talk to you? I battle, name it. Just name it. It's a real struggle in my life. You'll find it destroys darkness. Because here's what will happen. You'll find out you're not alone. You'll find out, like the Bible says this. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So you sit down and you say, hey, I got to talk to you about something. And you tell them about it. And you'll find out, oh, I'm not alone. And you know what? If you find the right person to confess your faults to, you'll find out something like this will often happen. Somebody will say, you know what? I got to tell you something. You know, I struggle with that same thing. And God helped me. And here are the steps I took. Amen. And I'm free. Amen. I'm healed. Amen. See, because God doesn't want you to just confess your sins and march out of a building. Go, okay, I made things right. No, He wants you to confess it so He can forgive it. But He wants you to get healing on top of the forgiveness. Good. And that's talking about your sin. You got to talk about it. By the way, we overlook it in this text. Did you know that before David talked to God about it in this text, God sent a person to talk to David about it. He really did. Nathan, we don't know a lot about him. I'd like to know Nathan, Brother Harold, because I'd like to know how he talked. Because Nathan goes into David and tells him this story about, you know, there was this poor farmer, he only had one little lamb, and there was this very wealthy farmer, and he had like tons of lambs, and this poor farmer, he's over here, and the wealthy farmer had somebody come visit him, and he could have taken one of his lambs, but he didn't. He took the poor farmer's lamb, kind of stole it, and killed it, and fed that to his friend. And David was livid, and David was like, what? We will find that guy. I will take care of him. And Nathan goes, you're that man. Now, I don't know how he said it. You know, I've always thought, well, how did he say it? Was he like a camp meeting preacher? You're the man! Or was he like, you know, like a doctor? You are the man. I don't know how he said it. Maybe he was like, Brother Harold, you're the man. I don't know how he said it. I don't know what he was like. We don't know. But notice that David had a good conversation with Nathan about it. Hey, kids, don't you want to be completely right with God? Amen. Then you've got to confess to others. Good. Which is why sometimes in our services, how many of you ever just go forward and kneel and pray? Nothing wrong with that. It's confession to God. But you know what will really help you? Maybe pray with a friend. Or a youth pastor. Or a daddy. Or a mom. Or someone older in the church. This is what he's telling us. It strengthens decisions. When you say, you know what, I got to have victory over this purity battle, and you confess it to God, he forgives you, and then you confess it to others, you talk about it, what you'll find out is you'll find strength in that decision because somebody will be along to help you. It'll develop direction in your life. Do you know why we should go to each other for help and healing? Because when we go to each other, we can open the Bible together and say, you know what, you could take this step, you could memorize this verse, you could read that book, I can check up on you, you can text me any hour of the night when you're battling and I'll pray for you, I'm available, I'll help you, I'm on your side. It develops direction in our life. How in the world can I be completely right with God? Well, number one, I got to talk about my sin. Does that make sense? But here's number two, look on your screen. Number two, I've got to correct my steps. Because what David does in Psalm 51, he's correcting his steps. Lord, I'm wrong. When I read Psalm 51, did you catch it? David is saying, God, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I admit it. I'm wrong. And you know I'm wrong. And everybody knows I'm wrong. And the enemy knows I'm wrong. You got to help me to correct my steps. I've gone in the wrong direction and I want to turn around and now I want to go in the right direction. So you got to correct your steps. Now, it may look differently for you than it does for somebody else, but look at the screen right here and think about it. It might mean a deletion. I got to delete that app. Can't have that app on my phone. Others can, but I can't because I got a battle and that app's not helping me. I might have to delete a number. You know what? Every time I get to texting with that person, we talk about things that are inappropriate. It's time to delete a number. It might be time to delete a friend. I don't mean do them in. Just for the record, I mean, that friendship's over. When I got saved in high school, as a sophomore, and I had not one buddy that was saved. All of my buddies came from broken homes and unsaved homes. My mom and dad were saved, and then I got saved, and when I got saved, I got all in, really. I mean, I just kind of went over the top. It didn't take me very long to realize that I can't be all in for God and be all in with these friends. And I had to learn that. And I'm going to tell you, I'm almost 50. This wasn't something a 50-year-old man did. I was 16 years old in a public high school when I said to a friend, hey, it's got to tell you something. We can't hang around anymore. You talk about things I can't talk about now that I'm saved. You listen to music that I no longer listen to now that I'm saved. You go to parties and drink and smoke and I can't be part of that. I got saved. That was a deletion. It's a step. I got to correct my steps. David came pretty honest here. He could have just written Psalm 51 without that beginning. But he just named it right up front. This is about my adultery. And it was with Bathsheba. He even put her name in there. I was wrong. She was wrong. But God, I want to be right. And I'm willing to correct my steps. Making a deletion, make an apology. Some of you, you know what? You can't be completely right with God until you apologize to a daddy for the way you've been acting. Some of you kids are good kids, but you treat your parents disrespectfully and you cannot be right with God and you cannot have God's blessings until you man up or you woman up as a child of God and go home and say to a mom or dad, you know what, the way I've been responding to you when I don't get my way, the way I roll my eyes and sigh, the way I treat my siblings, the way I complain about having to help around the house, the way I complain because I don't get this or I don't get that, mom and dad, I'm wrong and I'm sorry. That's correcting your step. That's going beyond, Lord, help me to go home and really be a mighty woman or man of prayer
No, Lord, I got to be completely right with you so I can get my prayers answered. I got to make an apology. Maybe make a change. Some of you, it's time to make some changes, because every time you come home from school or you come home and nobody else is in the house, or you sleep in late and you get up, and all you do is you're playing video games. You never read your Bible. You never pray. You never encourage anybody. All of your texts are silly or goofy or even negative. When you know what? You're not babies. You're grown kids. You're growing up. You boys, you're men. You ladies, you're women. And it's time to grow up and be part of the body of Christ. Some of you guys could make a major difference in your youth group if you'd stop, you know, being silly and goofy and acting like you're 9. You're 16. It's time for you to turn that phone into something that advances the kingdom of God. But make a change in your life. Correct your steps. You want to be completely right with God? It's not going to be an accident, but you can talk about your sin to God and to those that can help you, and you can correct your steps. And catch this. Here's the third one. You can change your spirit. I love this. I love this in Psalm 51, because just what David says in the 10th verse. This is one of my memory verses, and I review it quite frequently. Psalm 51:10. I pray this verse every single day. The Bible says in Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." What is David saying here? God, I want to be clean, but I also want to be right in my spirit, my response, my attitude. I think of it in three ways. Your spirit involves your heart, it involves your face, it involves your words. Your spirit does. It involves your heart. Some of you kids, you've asked God to forgive you, you want to be right with God, but you keep struggling, you keep failing, you're still down. You know what you got to do? You got to change your spirit. Some of you, you've complained enough. It's time to start being thankful. Some of you griped enough. It's time to stop being negative and start being positive. See, you got to change your spirit. It involves your heart. That's your thinking. You know why some of you battle some of your emotions? Some of you are always down. Some of you are always discouraged. Some of you are always angry. You know why? Because your thinking's wrong. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, pure, and of a good report, if there's virtue and praise, think on those things." Some of you, there's true stuff in your life. It's true that your mom and dad aren't well. It's true, but it's not lovely. It's not pure. It's not of a good report. And so you're dwelling on the things that aren't lovely. It's true, yes, but the other things aren't true, and your spirit is so out of whack. And teenagers, one of the major problems of our generation, besides purity, is that we're a generation with lousy attitudes. We gripe, we complain, we're unthankful, we're unkind, we're negative, we're down, we're frustrated, we worry, we're irritated, we get angry very easily. And the fact is, we'll never, ever, ever be completely right with God until we're willing to change our spirit. That involves your heart. It involves your face. Can I tell you kids something? This is so silly almost to say, but some of you need to smile. It's time you go to church and smile at the older people at church. It's time some of you go into youth group and smile at the kid that's visiting. And say, "Hi, how are you?" "I'm Dave Young." Because I've gone to some of your Sunday school rooms. And I'm like, "Lord, just shoot me now." I'm like, "What in the world?" It's time to change your spirit. I'll show up in your face. Some of you at home, you sit at the table staring at a phone and you're scowling and you're down. And if anybody says anything to you, you kind of huff and puff about it. Stop it. You're Christians. You're children of God. Amen. Change your face. Smile when your mom speaks to you. Respond with the right spirit. "Hey, honey, will you help me do the dishes?" "Yes, ma'am." Change your spirit, your words. Would you say that your words have a tendency to be negative and down and destructive? Or do they build and encourage? Are you more like this with your siblings? "Oh, my word. You are such a bother. You're such a jerk. Oh, my word." Is that you? Then write this down in black and underline it in red. You, my dear friend, are not right with God. That's the way a Christian treats her siblings. Have you ever, girls, have you ever said, how many of you girls have a brother? You ever said to your brother,
Hey, I just want you to know something. I think you're really handsome. And your brother's going to be like, thunk. Give him CPR. Well, don't do that. But then notice how y'all chuckle. Like, are you kidding me? It's my brother. You don't tell my brother he's good looking. What in the world? Can I tell you something, girls? Can I just tell you something? This little secret from Father Dave, okay? This is from Father Dave. This is dad talk. All right, just me and you. Dad talk. Can I tell you a little secret? Girls, there's a good chance you will probably someday marry a guy. And for the record, he will probably be a lot like your brother. So you know why God puts your brother in your life? To teach you how to treat your husband someday. So you treat your husband the way you treat your brother, you're going to have a lousy marriage. But guys, you're just as bad. Because some of you guys, God designed you to be a man, to defend your sister. And to be there for her. You know what girls like to hear? You are beautiful. Girls like that. That's what God designed them. Guys like to hear that they're the man. But girls like to hear, oh my goodness, you have beautiful eyes. My wife has beautiful eyes. I love her eyes. When she's mad at me, her eyes flare. They're so beautiful. It's like, baby, I know you're mad, but those eyes, I could dive in those and swim for eternity. Those eyes are beautiful. If my wife says to me, hey, honey, you're the man. I'm kind of like, well, you don't come to think of it. Yes, I am. See, because words matter. Do you know why the devil in our generation tries to get your generation to be so negative with their words? Because the enemy knows that your words are so powerful, they can destroy. Amen. It's time to change your spirit. It'll show up in your words. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? I mean, when's the last time you said thank you for that meal? Thank you for these shoes. Thank you for that phone you bought me, Daddy. Thank you. When's the last time you said to your siblings, thank you for helping do the laundry? Thank you for vacuuming the floor? When's the last time you were kind to each other? You want to know how to be completely right with God? You got to talk about your sin. You want to be completely right with God? You know how to be equally? You got to change your steps. You don't know how to be completely right with God? You got to change your spirit. You know what? Got to do it now. You ought to do it now. We ought to start tonight in this student prayer advance. And you know what? I want to be completely right with God. How many of you prayed a moment ago about a specific issue in your heart and life, and you meant it? Did you pray about something a moment ago? God, I want to be right about this. I want to be clean. I want to have victory. How many of you did? Honestly, how many of you did? Did you? How many of you, after I preach tonight, you can think, you know what, Dave, you mentioned a purity battle. You mentioned an area of our personality where the enemy turns a strength of ours to a weakness. And you mentioned a faulty pattern where we respond to things by habit that are just wrong. And you even mentioned pride. And how many of you would say, you know what, Brother Dave, I wouldn't have to think very far without saying that at least one of those could be a major issue in my life. How many of you say that's true in your life? I'm just going to raise my hand. I'll join you. Wouldn't that be true of most of us? That could be a major issue in my life. Do you know what we need to do? We need to talk to God. Lord, you got to help me with this issue in my life. But you can't stop there. God wants to heal you. So we got to get with each other. You got to talk to a pastor, a youth pastor, sponsor, maybe an older friend in the youth group. Because confessing our faults one to another brings healing. And that's how God designed us. And that's what God wants in our lives. So I'm going to give an invitation tonight. The invitation I'm going to give tonight is going to be like this. First thing I want you to do is I want you to pray. You just raise your hand and said, I know one of those four areas could be a problem in my life. And for some of you, it wasn't one. It was two. And for some of you, it was three. And for some of you, you're like, okay, it's all of it. I get it. Because we're all sinners. And we all live in a sin-cursed world.
and we're not alone in our battle with sin. But God doesn't want us to live defeated. That's why he gave us Psalm 51. To say to us, don't you know, you might have blown it as badly as David. But God can cleanse you and help you to get on the right track, help you to find healing, so he can use you again. Because that's what God wants. Girls, you may come from a broken home. You may be a foster kid. You may have all kinds of negative things in your life. But did you know that God loves you and cares about you? And not only wants to walk with you and be with you, he wants to use you. That's why he wants us to be clean and get all right and get all in. Because he wants to use our lives. That's what David's talking about here. Lord, I don't want to spend the rest of my life defeated. I want to spend the rest of my life helping others to be better than what I was. I want to turn sinners from their transgressions. And I want others to have the joy that I know that I can have. And I want to have gladness. Guys, God cares about you. And the reason he gave us this psalm is because he wants to help us have cleansing and victory so that he can use us. See, he loves you that much. Every one of you kids are part of the body of Christ. You're important in your youth group, but not just your youth group. You're important in your church. And the God of heaven wants to use you in your church. He wants to use you in your youth group, with your church. There's older people in your church that need you to have a sweet spirit and come pray with them and love on them and talk to them. They need you. Your church needs you. There's kids in your town that need you to be so right with God that you know how to speak to them about Jesus. And you're the one who regularly comes to church and brings somebody with you that needs to be saved. Do you know why some of your church never has anybody saved in it? Because you never bring anybody. Amen. You just never do. Some of your, I don't know what your church is like. Many of your churches I've never been to. But I want to tell you, I know a ton of churches in our movement who don't remember the last time they saw somebody saved in their church. And teens are like, you know, our church is so boring. Well, then change it. You know how you were singing tonight in this building? Some of you like this? Do it at your church. Sit on the front row at your church. When pastor says, let's pray, go, okay, Lord, help our church to have revival. Okay, maybe not yell like that. But why not kneel and pray about it? Amen. And then get up and act like it's happening. Pastor starts preaching, sit on the end of your seat. Scare your preacher to death. Sit on the end of your seat. Be like this. I see what most of you do in church. You're like this. No wonder your church is so dead. You don't preach. If you're listening, you're preaching and you're preaching your heart out, and everybody's like, I just want to tell you that's not very enlightening to your preaching. It's just like, yeah, some churches are really like, well, change it. God wants to use your life, kids. There's no time to be goofy and spend our lives playing video games and fussing at our siblings. We are people of the living God. Amen. Let's wake up. Let's confess. And let's get with each other. Let's get help. Let's do it. So here's what you do. Sit up straight. Would you? Sit up straight. I want you to bow your head, but don't lean forward. You just raised your hand that there were issues in your life that you're aware of. I know you're good kids. So right now, talk to God about them. Is it purity? Make sure you confess it completely to God, because he will forgive you every time. Is it a matter of your personality? You've never thought of it. You've always thought, that's just how I am. I'm always down. Confess it as sin. Is it a faulty pattern in your life? Is it a pride issue? You confess. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. Just to forgive us and to cleanse us. It's a wonderful promise from God. Take a few moments and pray. Can I ask you? If you, as a young person in this room, a student in this room,
if you sincerely are praying about a matter between you and God? Will you let me know that? But just enough that I can see it, lift your hand, would you? I'm praying, Dave. I'm praying. God bless you. Now, can I ask you to do a second thing? The instruction from this passage is to confess to God and to talk to others so we can help each other. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to turn to a friend and say, will you pray with me? And the two of you leave your seat, find a place in this auditorium to kneel together. Can I urge you to even consider getting your youth pastor, youth pastor's wife to pray with you? Your pastor's wife. Pray with somebody. Talk with somebody. Let's start the steps of healing right now.